BulaNetwork.com, episode 208. It's a free form Friday.
I messed up. It's episode 207. BulaNetwork.com/207.
Freeform Friday. What in the world is Freeform Friday? Hey, kids, Randy Cantrell. BulaNetwork.com is the website. You can go and find the show notes. I'm going to warn you ahead of time. There's not going to be very many. BulaNetwork.com/208. I usually do extensive show notes, but not for today's show. Today is January the 31st, 2014. I'm thinking about, haven't decided yet, but I'm thinking about doing this the last Friday of every month. Just a free-form show. Just throw it out there and see what sticks and talk about some things on my mind, update you on a few other things. Just check in with you, see how things are going. Because we're all in this together. If you think you're listening to the voice of authority, you have found the wrong podcast. I'm an authority about some things, but I do not claim to have all the answers, but man, I got great questions. So, hey, we'll do that and then some after this. You can go back and find... I don't know. What was it? Was it episode 205 might have been the episode where I talked about how we do stuff here inside the Yell studio. Got some nice email. Thank you very much. Got a number of people that were asking questions, seeking my advice. Even got a few people that sent me some MP3s, wanted me to listen to their audio. Tell them what I thought. I appreciate you flatter me, but you know, I've never put myself out here as a podcast consultant, and no, I'm not going to start that. So I do come from an electronics background. I've been in electronics pretty much all of my life. I was an audiophile when I was just a kid and started selling hi-fi equipment at the ripe old age of 15. I was almost 16, so it's kind of in my blood, and I admit I'd love it. I like all the gear. I like headphones. I like music. I like the hardware. So if you missed that episode, go back and check it out. Always lots of questions about what goes on here inside the Yell studio and what is the Yell studio, and that episode hopefully will answer some of your questions. I know that we all love the kumbaya and... You know, we're all going to achieve wow success and we're going to kind of be like, we're going to be like the student body that elects Pedro. You know, all of our wildest dreams are going to come true. But it's not realistic. It just, you know, it doesn't always happen. And so many times things just don't happen the way that we intended them to go. I know that we want to believe that we can just map things out and we can strategize and we can make it come true. And it's just kind of this roadmap. And if we follow the roadmap, then we will reach the intended destination. But it's just not how life works. For some reason, this month, I have been drawn to recognize, maybe more so than normal in the past, is just how much we all have in common when it comes to just struggling. And I know nobody likes to talk about struggling. We all want to, you know, we all want to move past that. We don't want to think about the deep and dark stuff. And I'm not going to get deep and dark on you, but come on, don't we have to stare this in the face? And so first up today in this Freeform Friday is just that. It's just the awareness to realize while you're sitting there battling whatever battles you're battling falsely, heavy emphasis on falsely. Falsely assuming that everybody else has got it all figured out, I'm just the voice in your earbuds telling you, you are wrong. you are wrong. Now, there's plenty of people that would have you believe they've got it all figured out, but they don't have it figured out. And everybody's got difficulties, and some difficulties, yeah, okay, a little bit of money makes a difference. And in other cases, no amount of money makes a difference. Yes, we live in a capitalist society here in America, and that's true in most places of the world these days. And I've gone on record, and I'll continue to stay on the record. I'm very pro-capitalism, big time. Well, I mean, come on, you don't start out as a teenage hi-fi salesman if you're not working straight commission, by the way, if you're not a capitalist. However, you know, it doesn't mean that capital, it doesn't mean that money is the solution to everything. I've been involved in a number of business enterprises in my lifetime, and it is a common misconception, well, it certainly was, you know, back in the day, common misconception that the reason that some businesses fail is a lack of capital. And that's not necessarily true. I can tell you that businesses fail because of a lack of customers. It's not always a lack of capital. It's always, 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 always a lack of customers, though. To throw money at the problem or to assume that money will fix the problem, that just doesn't do justice to the problem. Certainly doesn't do justice to the solution. And the only reason that I kind of start there with this proverbial elephant in the room is because so many people are chasing money, and I get it. I'm chasing money too. We're all chasing money so that bills can be paid and lifestyles can be maintained and we can take care of our family and we can provide and we can build some security and yada, yada, yada. But you and I both know that I tell you what I was thinking, and I tell you what kind of provoked this. I'm sitting here and I was doing some research last week, and on the Smithsonian Channel. Yeah. You didn't even know the Smithsonian had a channel, did you? On DirecTV, I don't know. It's one of those really high numbers. I came across some television show that was about Donald Trump's airplane. Well, airplane. Does that do it justice? No, it doesn't. A 757, fully customized $100 million 757. It was a very intriguing show. I ended up being completely distracted, as I am wont to do, because I had to turn the sound up. I didn't have the sound on. Turn the sound up. Well, they're following his pilot, who has complete control over this plane for obvious reasons. I mean, the guy's eminently qualified and is a detail freak. And it was just kind of fascinating. And let me tell you, here's the stupid thought that came to my mind. Now, here's a guy he's a household name probably all over the world. I mean, who hasn't heard of Donald Trump? And you can tell he just relishes it. He loves the role. And he's pretty good at it. Come on, you got to admit, even if you don't like him or his hair. I mean, even a guy like me, even a guy who shaves his head, even I am not envious of the Donald's hair. That's pretty bad. But I'm looking at this plane. I'm, you know, you're just watching this guy's lifestyle and you're just thinking about the way he lives his life. And I'm sitting here in my little humble yellow studio and I'm thinking, you know, Donald Trump, he could not exist. He could not survive a single week on the amount of money that I probably make in a year. Yeah, just let that sink in. Just let that sink in. And then I thought, there are people on this planet today who are facing a lifetime where they will not make in a lifetime what I can make in a year. And of course, as I am wont to be, you know, one thought leads to another thought. And, you know, it's that moniker, one man's ceiling is another man's floor. And boy, isn't that true. One man's ceiling is another man's floor. The problem is sometimes we get so caught up in we want to be the other guy. And so jealousy and covetousness and envy, those can really, and those are powerful, powerful things. And they can overwhelm us. Now, we can look at somebody like the Donald, and I don't think that very many of us sit around and think, that's what I want to do. I want to be. Most of us understand that just seems so far-fetched. I mean, it's just, we realize the unlikeliness of that. But we look at other people. So we turn the knob down just a tad, and we look at people who maybe they've got a house that's two, three times bigger than our house. And maybe they've got cars that are significantly newer than ours. And we look to them. And it's not that they're just a step ahead of us. They may be many steps ahead of us, but come on. The Donald, he's up in the stratosphere, right? I mean, $100 million customized 757. You know, give me a, I don't know, give me a Gulfstream. I'd be tickled pink. Gulfstream nothing. I don't want a Gulfstream. Give me an Aston Martin. You know, keep me on the ground. Just give me an Aston Martin. I'm good to go. I was watching something. I was watching, what's the big car auction outfit? You know, if you're a car guy, you know, and I'm brain dead right now, but there was an old Aston Martin that was coming up on the block, and they threw across a little ditty about Aston Martin. And the question was, it was a trivia question, you know, which actor who had played James Bond, which actor has the ability, a deal with Aston Martin to go pick any Aston Martin off the line whenever he wants it. And it was Daniel Craig, the current James Bond. And I thought, now there's a sweet deal. I know other people are thinking, man, wouldn't it be great to be James Bond and be up on the screen? I'm a guy sitting here thinking, man, the guy can go to the Aston Martin factory and say, hey, give me one of those. You know, you're cool. You know, you are cool when Aston Martin gives you that deal, but I digress. So one man's ceiling is indeed another man's floor and all that. And we can take a look at the opulence, and we can take a look at the success, and we can take a look at the stuff that people have, and we can think, you know, man, why am I not me? Why don't I? And I'm here to tell you, I'm the voice of reason today on Friday, January 31st, 2014, to tell you, stop it, because you're not helping yourself. You're not helping yourself. And I realize that not only are we not helping ourselves by looking at the Donald and saying, you know, man, wouldn't it be great? And so we fantasize about that, and we fail to realize that we really probably ought to drop to our knees more frequently and be thankful. Yeah, I'm thankful to God, and be more thankful for what we've got, realizing that there are people in many parts of the world, many, 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 many parts of the world that view us as, I mean, we're Donald Trump. I mean, Donald Trump is even beyond comprehension for them. Shoot, he's beyond comprehension for us. So I got to thinking about, for some reason, I got to thinking about the people who live on dirt floors. You ever think about this? I got to thinking about people who can live their entire life and not wear a pair of shoes. People who can live their entire life and their feet never touch pavement. Their feet never touch carpet. They live in homes where the floors are dirt, and it's all they know, and it's all they'll ever know. Now, I know that you don't want to live in a hut with a dirt floor, and I know that the realization that other people do does not make you feel better about whatever plight you have or whatever challenges you've had, and I'm not really trying to do that, but I am trying to give you some perspective, and I am trying to help you understand, and I'm really trying to help myself understand that as I look around the Yellow Studio, and as I think of the things that I've got here in the Yellow Studio, when I started to do kind of the inventory of the studio, and not much has changed here. So I had some money that I had saved, and I intended to do this the way I did it. I had a budget. I didn't blow the budget. And, you know, it's not like I went out and bought all this stuff yesterday, and it's not like I went out and bought all this stuff, you know, all at one time. I did probably admittedly get the majority of it at one time, but it was very intentional. And it was also, you know, it was also what, 8 years ago. Could I just take the rack of hardware that I'm looking at? I mean, could I just go today and buy any of that and not have that affect me financially? No. I mean, I'm not just going to go drop money. I'm not that well off, and I'm more protective of what I've got, because come on, I'm not a kid anymore. And so you do have to think a little more long-term, but I began to think about the dirt floors, and I began to think about Trump and his 757. And I began to think about me here in the Yellow Studio, and I began to think about you. I began to think about you where you are. And I realized that even if you're in Sweden, or if you're in Australia, or if you're in Asia, or if you're in Israel, it or if you're in Canada, it doesn't matter where you are. You're not Donald Trump, that's for sure. But you're not in a hut somewhere with a dirt floor either. And the simple fact that we've got this connectivity, the simple fact that we've got the internet, and that we've got so many other things, it just made me realize maybe we don't stop long enough and look around and think, these are the things I've got. And I don't mean it in terms of materialism as much as I do opportunities, that these are the opportunities that I've got. These are the tools that I've got. You know, I don't know about you, but I get tired of saying to myself, and I get tired of hearing other people say, but I really get tired of hearing myself say, you know, that I don't, or I can't, I don't have this, or I don't have that, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. When I'm sitting here looking around and I'm thinking, man, you know, this is pretty amazing, isn't it? Pretty amazing that a guy in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas can sit here behind a microphone and can connect with people all over the globe. And it's not that I'm any great thing. I'm not. And it's not that I got any big crowd. I don't. But those of you that are here, man, it's in many ways, it's very life-changing to just make a connection with a person here and a person there. People that you know are paying you some attention, and people that I want to pay that attention back. You know, I got some emails about that, kind of the tour of the studio, like I said in the intro, and a few people sent some audio and some things. And I would send back emails asking, what are you thinking about doing? You know, I got some from people that they wanted to podcast, but they weren't. Some other people that they wanted to do some teaching, and some other people that wanted to talk about this and that. And well, what are those things? I want to know what those things are. And to a man and a woman, you know, I got back very polite, very complimentary emails, as though these people were touched that I had just responded to their email. And I'm thinking, well, come on, how hard can this be? So I'm going to sit here and do this podcast, and you're going to pay me the honor of listening to this thing. And you're going to email me, results@bulanetwork.com, by the way, is the email address. You're going to email me to results@bulanetwork.com, and you're going to write whatever you're going to write, and I'm not going to respond. You kidding me? No. Oh, and I know that the world, especially the internet world, is full of people who are, oh, they're just so busy and their inbox is just so full and they just can't possibly keep up with the demand because they are so popular. Guys, I'm not that guy, okay? I'm here to tell you, I am not that popular. So if you email me, expect a response. I'll go you one better. If you don't get a response, check on me because something's probably happened to me. I may have maybe dead in a ditch somewhere. And I'm not that, that's not a big thing. What is a big thing, I think, is for us to look around and realize, you know, I got carpet. Number one, I got shoes on my feet. Yeah, I'm dressed today. I got shoes on my feet. I've got various kinds of flooring in my house. I've got central heat and air. I've got a refrigerator that's full of food. I've got a pantry that's full of food. My wife does not have to put a bucket on her head and go down to the creek and fetch water for the house. And I know that, listen, that's just not our society. That's, you know, that's all those people know, whoever those people are. But isn't that something? I mean, really, isn't that something? We're sitting here anxious to see what Apple's next release is going to be. Because we had the iPhone 3, and then we had to get the 4. Now we got the 5, and we're anxiously waiting. What's 6 going to be? Meanwhile, across the planet, there are people, countless people with dirt floors. I know, listen, I know it's all relative, and I'm saying this to hear myself say it, to be truthful with you. I'm preaching to myself more. I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to myself to just get so caught up with, oh man, you know, I want this deal to happen, and I want that deal to happen, and I want this person to hire me so I can do some work with them, and I'd like for that person to hire me, and I'd like to sell this, and I'd like to sell that, and we really would like to upgrade the vehicle, and we might want to move to a different house and a newer house. And we're full of wants and desires. And I'm not telling you that I think it's bad for you or for me to have desires. I just think we sometimes get ahead of ourselves, don't we? I do. We get so far ahead of ourselves in thinking about the things that we want that we don't look back enough. Not with arrogance and pompousness of my look at what I've done, but of how blessed we are I mean, I'm pretty blessed to be where I'm at. And I especially tend to think about people. I think about the people in my life and I think, well, okay, I don't have Donald Trump's airplane, but I'm not on my third wife or however many he's got or has had. I've been married to one woman. Okay, he's got his kids in his business. That's great and that's wonderful. And I'm not making any judgments except on what we can all see and discern. Would I trade $100 million airplane? Would I blow my family up to have just the $100 million airplane? Forget everything else the man's got. To be able to have an airplane like he's got, is that worth the people in your life? Well, no. No. Now there are people that I think they might not say it out loud, but they would think to themselves, yeah, you bet. I wouldn't. I can't imagine it. I really can't. As much as we may think that money and success and fame and celebrity and whatever else it is that we chase would be worth it, would it? Would it really? And so I'm reminded of the warning, be careful what you wish for, because yeah, you might get it. And it might not be what you want it to be. Hey, I was watching 60 Minute Sports. I've got free Showtime for a period of time. I'm not a Showtime subscriber, and the only thing that I watch is 60 Minutes Sports, and it's only on once a month. Showtime is a CBS product, so that's why. And I was watching an episode. In fact, it kind of provoked. If you want to, this is an episode that I'm pretty proud of because I did put in some work and some thought to this. Not that I don't put in thought and work. Well, not today, because this is Freeform Friday. Come on. But I did put some work into episode 4010. Yeah, 4010 over at leaningtowardwisdom.com. So if you go to leaningtowardwisdom.com, just look for episode 4010, 4010. Check that episode out. Even I may impress you with that episode. I was pleased with that episode. And I'm not often pleased, by the way, but I'm just willing to do this. I'm willing to throw this out there because I'm smart enough to know that we just got to do this stuff, don't we? And I'm not necessarily just doing it to hear my head rattle, but I've already gone on record. I'm doing it mainly for legacy. I'm doing it to lay stuff down because I know that there's coming a time when I won't be able to do this. There's coming a time when I won't be on the planet. And so just think of it as Randy's laying tracks down. I'm laying tracks down. In this case, they happen to be audio tracks. Episode 4010, leaningtowardwisdom.com. Anyway, 60 Minute Sports is kind of one thing that provoked that episode. And it also provoked another thought. And the thought was the retirement of professional athletes. These are some of the most tense press conferences that you can watch. And they're just incredible. They can be incredibly sad. Here in Dallas, Texas, the most recent big star who retired, the pro athlete, was Mike Modano. Mike Modano of the Dallas Stars Hockey Club. Mike Modano is the number one American-born hockey player so far as stats go, goals scored and points in games and all that. A terrific, terrific player. And to watch him retire, it was emotional, and you could tell it was very emotional for him. And I've long thought about all the people who just retire in complete anonymity. I mean, I don't care what the pro league is, whether it's basketball, hockey, football, soccer, I don't care what it is. There aren't that many people on the planet who earn a living playing a professional sport. You are still in incredibly select company. And doesn't it seem odd that even in that select company, there are countless people who every year retire from every league? And there's this collective yawn because they're not big names. They're not stars. Well, there was a segment, I think, in the 60 Minute Sports about pro athletes retiring. And they did some interviews with some people that work for the NFL. And the NFL has programs designed to help these athletes make the transition from being a pro to being retired. Now, of course, when you retire from being a professional athlete, many of these guys are still just, they're in their 30s. So these are still really young guys that are retiring. They're not retiring from life, and they're not retiring from working, but they're retiring from being professional athletes. And there is this transition period. And one of the guys made a comment, and it's called, by at least by the NFL players, the wilderness. Entering the wilderness. You don't know where you're going. You don't really know where you're at. You're just kind of lost because this thing that you've been doing all of your life, now all of a sudden you're not doing that. And you've been used to going, as the guy said, you've been used to going into restaurants and people happy that you're there. And all of a sudden now the context of your life has completely changed because you were this San Francisco 49er or you were this Dallas Cowboy, and now you're not. Now you are an ex-Dallas Cowboy. And unless you're a name guy, and even if you are a name guy, it's your identity is still lost. And of course, as a Christian, I was thinking of the famous wilderness, the 40-year pilgrimage of Moses and the children of Israel wandering about. Now God was guiding them directly. They didn't necessarily know where they were or what was going on, or I mean, they had to listen to the Lord. Who are you listening to? Are you in a wilderness? Sure, come on. We're all in a wilderness at some point or another. And maybe you're not in a wilderness right now, but you've certainly been there before. And you're probably smart enough to know that there's another wilderness in your future. I don't care who we are. It's just how it goes. The wilderness. Well, I got to thinking about my own story and the brief story. When you've been used to running companies all of your life, and then all of a sudden in 2009, you stop doing that. And I did. I stopped doing it. Stayed on in a consulting capacity for 2 years after I walked away full time. And then I walked away even from that. And I can't tell you. I just can't tell you how hard it is. I didn't have a clue. Did not have a clue. Really hard, because I don't know about women, but for guys, I can tell you, and it may be a guy thing. And the only reason I know is because there've been too many guys that I've had this conversation with. Your identity gets wrapped up into what you do for a living, and you kind of identify yourself with, well, that's who I am. And I got to think about these pro athletes in the wilderness. And when you've been playing ball all your life and that's all you know, even if you have a college education and even if you have other skills and other knowledge, you've never used them really. You haven't had to. You've played ball. And if you're good enough to be a professional, then that necessarily means that at some point in your life, you were a stud. Now, you may get to the pros and not be, but you don't get to the pros without having been a stud in high school and or college. And so you've been pampered and you've been pandered to some degree because, well, you've got superior athletic skill, superior to your peers for sure. The wilderness. And the sad reality is, in fact, just this month, Vince Young, who was famed University of Texas quarterback that helped them win a national championship some years ago, and I think they said that he had signed a $30 million contract. I think he only had one contract in the league. He was only in the league long enough to sign one contract. I don't know how much money he actually collected. It was a $30 million contract, filed bankruptcy. He's 30 years old. He's not in the league, and he filed bankruptcy. The news report said that his assets were worth about $1 million. His debt, 10. Million. And you just think, poor Vince. I mean, Vince is in the wilderness. Vince is still in the wilderness. Will he get out of the wilderness? I hope for his sake. I hope for his family's sake. I hope he does. Yeah, I absolutely hope he does. I'm not a UT guy. Hey, I'm a Sooner fan. But I don't wish that on the poor guy. The wilderness is a really tough place to be. I'm sure it's exceptionally tough for professional athletes, and I know that there are those of us that can think, well, I'm not going to feel too bad for them. Look at all the money that they made, but look at all the people that preyed upon them as well. And think about your own self. I mean, think about being in your 20s, and if you were a stud and a star kind of an athlete, and you did get a multi-million dollar deal, could you handle it? And would you handle it? And who would you trust? Have you ever had somebody dupe you? I have. I mean, I've been duped for some big money. There's an episode floating around here somewhere how I lost $50,000. Yeah, just snoop around here. It's here at BulaNetwork.com. So I've been there, done that. And I wasn't a 20-something year old. So we all make stupid decisions. And stupidity doesn't help us out of the wilderness. There's the problem. Sometimes stupidity puts us in the wilderness. Are you in the wilderness right now? I'd like to know. I really would. Results@BulaNetwork.com. That's the email address. Email me. I'll email you back. Shoot, I might even jump on Skype with you. Not promising that, but I might. I've been known to do that before. The wilderness can hit us for all kinds of reasons. The wilderness can hit when a marriage just doesn't seem to be working for some reason. The wilderness can hit when there's health issues. The wilderness can hit when a job is lost. The wilderness can hit, the wilderness can hit when the hot water heater blows up and we don't have an extra $300 to replace it or fix it. So the wilderness can manifest itself in all kinds of forms, and it can be vexing. I mean, it can be really vexing, and it can be, you look around and you don't know where to go. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. You are lost. You feel like you're lost in the wilderness. Yet, do I go in this direction? Do I go in that direction? I don't even know what direction to go. I can only speak for myself as a man of faith. I mean, there's two directions that kind of come to my mind, and they are, they really are the same direction, but they are manifested physically in two counter directions. And that is looking up, because that kind of represents higher power and God, and falling on our knees, which represents humility and reverence and awe and wonder and worship. So yeah, that's, I'm going to be, and I'd love to tell you that I'm more prone to do that quicker than not, but there are times that I'm in the wilderness and I'm looking around and I'm trying to figure it out and I'm trying to sort it out. And I'm a slow learner in some cases, and I'm slowly learning that I don't always have it figured out. I can look around and, okay, well, that direction looks no different than this other direction, and this direction over here, well, that looks just like the other one. I don't have an answer. I got no answers. I need some clarity. Now, let me footnote this and tell you, I don't believe in divine intervention. I don't believe in the age of miracles has ceased, I believe, according to the Corinthian letter. Paul said that they would, that the days would come when these would stop. And those days are here, by the way, because we have the fully revealed word of God. But I won't wax too spiritual on you here. And I'm not preaching at all. Just simply telling you how it is for me. I need to engage whatever talents God has given me. I need to engage whatever experiences life has afforded me and whatever opportunities I have. And it kind of comes back to the original thing about the hut with a dirt floor. And to, I tell you what it is, and I've talked about it over at Leaning Toward Wisdom. It's deficit-based thinking versus asset-based thinking, and that's been on my mind a lot. And no, that's not just looking at things through rose-colored glasses. It's looking at the glass half empty and half full and realizing, yes, that glass is half empty, and yes, that glass is half full, as opposed to viewing that glass as, hey, that glass is half full. Well, it's also half empty. Well, okay, what can you do with that? So if I've got these opportunities, it's focusing on opportunities. It's focusing on what you can do with what you have, and it's focusing on what's next. What's the next thing that you can do? The only way that I know out of a wilderness is to not get ahead of myself, and boy, that's hard. Man, that's hard. You know, because I want to jump to the end, right? I want to jump to the result that I'm looking for. The problem is, as I said in episode 4010 of Leaning Toward Wisdom, there is this process that you kind of have to go through. I don't want to go through the process. Do you? No, too many times we don't want to go through the process. Carrying a little bit extra weight. And so, you know, the person may say, you know, I'd like to drop 20 pounds. Okay, go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week, do this routine, watch your calories, eat between 1,800 and 2,000 calories a day, take this out of your diet, take that out of your diet. And the guy can say, well, I don't want to do all that. I just want to lose 20 pounds. Okay, I'm telling you how. Because the process answers the question how. But we really don't care how. We just want the what. I was having a conversation the other day, and a friend of mine and I were talking about, I don't know why we got on it. We got to talking about kids. And I don't mean really young people. I kind of mean teenagers. That what had come up in the conversation is, what do you want to be when you grow up? Those kinds of conversations. And I made a comment to him and I said, so many people, young and old alike, they say they want to be something, fill in the blank. I want to be a fireman. I want to be an astronaut. I want to be a writer. I want to be a rock star. But they don't want to do what you have to do to be that thing. And in some cases, they don't even want to do the thing that they would have to do in order to be it, that. Oh, you want to fight fires? Oh, no, I don't want to fight fires. I just want to be a fireman. Well, you first have to learn how to fight fires, and then you got to be willing to fight fires. That's what firemen do. No, I just want to be a fireman. I tell you what it reminded me of. It reminded me of, if you're a fan of the Andy Griffith Show, Ernest T. Bass. And Ernest T. Bass was a great character. And did you know that Ernest T. Bass was only in like 6 episodes? Man, didn't he seem like he was in more? And so you got this freak from the hills that comes down and he's just got no social graces at all. And he wants a uniform. You know, it turns out all he wants is he wants to wear the same kind of uniform that Andy and Barney wear. He doesn't want to be a cop. He doesn't want to be a policeman. He just wants the uniform because he thinks the uniform will get him chicks. Isn't that how we are? Oh, I don't want to be a cop. I just want the uniform. Well, why do you want the uniform? You know, let's dig a little bit deeper. I mean, at least with Ernest T. Bass, he's pretty candid to say that's why he wants it, you know, because then maybe the girls will be attracted to him. So many of us go chasing these kinds of things, and so many of us, I think, are looking for a way out of the wilderness, and we're not making any progress, and we know we're not making any progress. And I fear for myself, and maybe this is true for you too, I fear for myself that I'm not focused enough on the process. I'm thinking too much of, I want the uniform because I think the uniform will get chicks. No, I don't want chicks. I got a wife, but just hang with me on this metaphor that I'm using. Instead of focusing on getting the uniform, and even instead of focusing on getting chicks, isn't there something else that I could focus on? I mean, come on. Here's Ernest T. He's this hick he's a hillbilly and a half. He's got absolutely nothing going for him. I mean, the guy is socially awkward is being incredibly polite. He's a rock throwing crazed lunatic hillbilly. So how about you start there? It's no different than the guy that wants to drop 20 pounds. There is a process. There not only is a process that involves what you can do, but how you can do it. How about you start there and you start doing those things? Well, I don't want to do those things. I don't care. I don't care what you want to do. That's what you have to do. And you can't just sit there and focus all the time on 20 pounds. I need to lose 20 pounds. I need to lose 20 pounds. You've got to focus on the process. I got to focus on today. I need to go to the gym. And today I've had this many calories, so I got this many more calories left. That's the focus for today. The focus isn't 20 pounds. Yeah, that's the hopeful objective, but it's got to be today. I got to do this now. What can I do right now? And what can I do in the next hour? And I think, I don't know if this is true for you, but it's true for me. I'll confess it. You know, I can sit around and I can think about the end game, but I'm not thinking about, okay, today, what do I need to do right now? What can I do in the next hour? Is there something I can do in the process the next hour that can move me closer? Sure there is. There always is. Why don't I do that? Why don't you do that? I can tell you why. Because you're in the wilderness and you're just trying to get out of the wilderness. And yeah, as we often hear said, and I say it way too much, you know, we get the cart before the horse. Right now, today, just think about right now, today, and let's get out of this wilderness. You know that you're in it. I know I'm in it. And when you're in it, man, you know it. There's no mistake in it. You know you're lost. And you'd think that we would be a little bit more open-minded, I guess, to seeking some way out. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you this is true for me. In some cases, it's trying to just kind of grab the proverbial machete and you just try to cut your way out of it. And I just have not been able to make that work. And if you're a guy, you're probably trying to do it yourself, you know, so you probably just sit around and you're alone with your thoughts and you're just quietly trying to overcome this thing or whatever, instead of reaching out. And in some cases, I can also confess I have reached out and you don't get much help, or people don't know how to help. And that may be more it. Well, no, in some cases they don't want to help. Now, I'm not talking about people that go through life whining and complaining and always being needy. Come on, we know who they are. Don't let that be you. But I'm talking about the person that just for right now, it's apparent that they're in a wilderness. It's apparent that they could use a little bit of help. And it's a little bit like how you hear these stories of, you know, some crime that was committed in some part of the city and they go looking for witnesses and the streets are just packed with people, but nobody saw anything. No, I didn't see anything. Don't talk to me. You ever feel that way? Sure you do. Sure you do. I think we all do. We encounter some tough time and we get the courage maybe to reach out to somebody and probably somebody close or you wouldn't have reached out. Only to have them kind of respond with, well, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I've said for a long time, I need better friends. You need better friends. Hey, we all need better friends. No, I'll tell you what we need. This is absolutely true. And I do feel this way in way, way too many cases. We need fewer friends. It's funny to me. You can hear people talk, especially in the online world. People will talk about so-and-so and, oh, it's my good friend, my best friend, my, you know, my very close friend. And it's somebody that it's probably somebody that has some status in whatever online arena that they're in, some status that's higher than their own. And so naturally they're a good friend. How good a friend are they? Really? I mean, really? How good a friend are they? It used to be people would say, you know, would they come to your funeral? Well, I mean, come on. There's some people. I remember when Elvis died. I mean, so all the people that came to the funeral and all the people that went to Graceland and all the people that threw flowers there. And it's John Lennon, the same thing. I mean, anytime somebody of any notoriety, I mean, just millions and millions of people can throng. I mean, okay, well, they're all friends. No, they're not. They were fans. So I don't know that that's even a barometer anymore for friendship. You know, to me, friendship, I guess, would be somebody who would you call if there was something really catastrophic that happened in the middle of the night and you picked up the phone and the first person you called, who would that be? And how many people would that be? Is that you think that's a good barometer? Something happens, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and you got your cell phone. Who you calling? Who you going to call first? And who you going to call next? And my guess would be that the people that you're going to call are going to be people that you know are going to respond. First off, people that are going to answer the call, people that aren't going to look and go, caller ID, Randy, ooh, no, let that go to voicemail. Who is that? And now, you know, for me, one of the barometers of friendship is who's thinking about you like that? who in your life has got you in their phone, and if something were to happen to them at 2 a.m., they're calling you. Yeah, that might even be scarier, might it? Because you're probably thinking, I didn't see anything. My wife and I, when we were younger and we had little kids, and of course we had a number of friends and couples that they also had kids, and we were, I don't know, you know, couples do this. You get to a point where you realize, you know, we need to have our will. I mean, we kind of need to get our legal house in order in case something were to happen to us. I remember Steve Allen, who was the precursor to Johnny Carson, and he and his wife, and they had kids, and they did not fly together ever. She would fly on one plane, he would fly on another. In case something were to happen to one plane, then there would be a parent left to raise the kids. So we had a point in our life when the kids were small and we had friends and they had small kids, and everybody's kind of thinking about, okay, well, if something were to happen to us, who do we want to raise these kids? And most people probably thought about family. You think about the grandparents, but we had some friends who didn't. We had some friends who confronted us and said, could we list you guys as taking care of our kids in case something were to happen to us? And I remember Rhonda and I thinking, man, please, Lord, let us all just live long enough so that we get out from under the legal obligation of, and we were flattered. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we were flattered, but there was more than one couple that wanted us, if something were to happen to them, wanted us to raise their kids. And we're thinking, we got our hands full with our own kids. I don't want to raise your kids. Not sure today I want to raise mine. But who in your life or who in their life is looking at you as the 2 o'clock in the morning phone call? I mean, there's a degree of, you know, that's just a friendship. And I'm all for, like I started out talking about the emails and answering emails and all that. And it's great and it's wonderful, but to be friendly and to be helpful and to help serve other people, that's one thing, but isn't friendship something even more? I think it is. Sure it is. It doesn't mean that we can't be acquaintances, and it doesn't mean that, I guess, in the modern sense of the online world, that we can't be friends, but I continue to tell people that, you know, the circle of my friends, I'm a guy who the circle of close friends has always been really small. It just has. And that's been by design because, you know, there have been people in my life that I'm willing to just shell it down with and lean on, and I want to be there for them. I'm hopeful that they'll be there for me. That's not a big crowd. That's not a big, big number. And it doesn't mean that I can't be socially engaging with other people, help other people, derive some benefit from other people. All this give and take that goes on in society, it's all great and wonderful. And I think we do need to behave ourselves in a friendly demeanor for sure. But yeah, the 2 o'clock, for me, the 2 o'clock morning barometer thing kind of hits more so than a funeral thing. I was going to try to keep this under an hour. I did it. I made it. Go back to the beginning. You'll know I didn't promise you. Listen, I didn't promise you a spectacular. It's Freeform Friday. Told you it was just going to be some riffing and just kind of let my hair down, and maybe it's pulling back the curtain. It wasn't that much pulling back the curtain, was it? Anything help you? Email me. results@bulanetwork.com. Seriously. Here's the good news. If it didn't help you, and if you thought, man, that just sucked, that's an hour I'll never get back. The good news is I'm only going to do it once a month, if that. I'm thinking about the last Friday of every month to do Freeform Friday. Just kind of whatever's on my mind. So it's not like it's an episode that you got to, you know, you don't have to download every episode in the feed. You don't have to listen to every one. I get it. I'm trying to get better. I'm just trying to get better. Okay, the website's Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com. You already know the backstory behind Bula, and if you don't, I've talked about it in other places, so I won't bore you with that here. But I would like for you to email me, results@BulaNetwork.com, and you can tell me anything you want. I'm not telling you that I got the answers, but I'll respond. I'll respond. If you think there's something that I can do to help you, I will. Well, okay. Yeah, there's a limit to that. Just come on, be courteous. Don't be Ernest T. Bass. If I don't help you, don't throw a rock through my window. You need to go watch those episodes if you haven't. It's really funny, especially the uniform thing. And there's so many, all the episodes that he was in were just brilliant, especially when Andy was trying to teach him social graces and he comes bounding down. I have to put it in the show notes. I have to put the video of this in the show notes because it's just it's one of the best scenes ever. Andy's been coaching him and Barney comes over and Andy's he's proud, man. He's like, it's going really well. Next thing you know, Ernest T comes bounding down the stairs, hops over the rail, straight into the easy chair. And Barney looks at Andy and says, oh, he's coming right along. It's classic. Classic. I'll find that on YouTube and put that in the show notes. BulaNetwork.com/208. I messed up. It's episode 207. BulaNetwork.com/207. Connect with me any way that you choose to. Results@BulaNetwork.com. Social media. Yeah, I'm there. You can even join the newsletter if you care to. Leave me a review at iTunes if you care to. All the usual stuff that every podcaster asks for. I'm willing to ask. From Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, my name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.